Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. My guest tonight is a dancer, actor, playwright, director, and now a club owner, a partner with Heklina of Tranny Shack fame in a new theater spot, cabaret-sized theater spot for LGBT performers. It's resurrected from a gay club of decades gone by and bears its name, Oasis. His current theatrical spectacle is called, well, actually, we can't say the name on public radio. It's SH blank T and Champagne, and he calls it a whitesploitation comedy. Darcy Drollinger has been on Out in the Bay before. He was here a couple of years ago telling us about his excellent production, Project Lohan, about Lindsay Lohan, and he's back. So, Darcy, welcome back to Out in the Bay.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So, tell us about this current production.
Okay, well,
without saying the S word, I'll just let you know, folks. I mean, it's really funny. I saw it for the second time the other day. It's a hoot. It's slapstick. It's fun. It's cheesy, but in a really fun way. And it even gets into some serious issues. But
we have a little bit of some politically charged jokes there too. Satire always. The show's called Shh and Champagne, and it's a whitesploitation comedy with dance. It is based on the very many blaxploitation and exploitation films of the 70s and 80s. Specifically, Foxy Brown was a big inspiration for me.
I can see that.
But it is done in such a way where, I mean, we're playing with farce and commedia and pure slapstick in an almost vaudeville 2.0 kind of way. And the dance scenes are almost like little mini drag shows sprinkled in throughout the play. So, you know, if someone's a fan of everything from Mel Brooks to the Marx Brothers to the Airplane movies, it's got a lot of that same Carol Burnett sort of humor, but it follows the same formula of those revenge stories. In this one, Champagne Horowitz Jones Dickerson White,
played by you,
she's been married a couple of times. Yeah, she's an exotic dancer whose fiance is murdered, and then so is her adopted half stepsister Brandy White by the evil drug lord discount prostitution ring of Malwart, and she's got to extract
Malwart.
Revenge.
Why does that sound so familiar? Malwart.
Exactly. It's what happens when you shop too much.
Is that,
you know,
Malwart or Malwart? Like the word of the mall? Okay.
Right.
It looks like malware.
It's a funny spoof on that throughout the run. I mean, that's something that, you know, in a South Parkian kind of way, we can take stuff that's actually happening out in the world and do a little bit of satirical jabs and comedy at stuff that really is our issues, you know. Anyway, she has to go on and extract revenge, and she goes in to kind of follow the footsteps of so many great 70s television heroines like Wonder Woman, Charlie's Angels, Bionic Woman, and going undercover. And it affords me a lot of fun for costume changes and wig changes. And as kind of high camp and draggy as it is, it's really a complex show. I was thinking about how hard my other actors have to work because it is a machine that is, every joke is really based on the next setup. And that kind of the mechanics of the show are really complex when everyone's playing multiple characters and having to remember so many lines.
Yeah, costume changes. I mean, not quite as many as the Lohan project. That was insane.
But let's
hear a little bit of this before we go much farther. So this is the scene where Rod, Champagne's boyfriend, mm-hmm. is set this up for us, because the audio, I just have to let you know, folks, the audio is not fantastic. It's taken from an earlier performance from about maybe 2 years ago. So it's from the house, and you can hear that, but you can tell the audience is having a lot of fun.
Right.
So, but we may need to speak over a little bit of the beginning part just to let folks know what's going on. But
sure. I mean, it is basically Rod, who's played by Nancy French, who's hilarious. So we even have a drag king in the show. She's Champagne's fiance, and she's also the assistant manager at Malwart. And she's got some big important news to tell Champagne, and before she can do it, before he can do it, he's killed. And in this scene, it is, you know, in the classic, those classic soundtracks of those blaxploitation films, you know, it's Rod kind of singing about, you know, that Champagne's got to carry on. It is also a crucial part of the show because I have to do a costume change.
And I'll just note the one little bit of context I'll add is that Champagne is expecting that Rod is going to pop the question.
She thinks it's a marriage proposal, and instead he wants to basically tell about the evil plot that Ma Ward has in store.
What song is this we're hearing, do you know?
It is from the, actually, this is from the Coffee soundtrack.
Okay.
And at this point, Champagne is, she's actually just come from the supermarket, and she's walking through the streets at night with her groceries, which
from Foods Co.
From Foods Co., which is kind of secretly one of my favorite moments in the show. And Rod is
he's looking for her desperately.
Looking for her desperately, and the thugs are after him. It's those classic moments of low budget theater. She thinks she hears something, but there's no one around. So she decides to keep walking. And then he's shot.
Help! Help! Oh, it's no use!
Well, then I'll shoot louder. Help!
Oh, Champagne, you know that big thing I want to talk to you about?
Yes.
Will you?
I do.
Will you listen to me? Bulwark! Evil plot! Sex! Drugs! Dixie Stampede!
Oh, Rod, this is no time for riddles.
You don't understand.
A limerick?
No!
Haiku?
Champagne! I was employee of the month!
That's not a haiku.
Champagne! Trust no one!
Trust no one? Trust no one? Oh, God, Rod, no! Oh, God, Rod, no!
And then comes the dance number.
Of course, there's a dance number after he dies. What's the Cher song? I mean, I don't even, but I don't know that particular song.
Song for the Lonely. It's off of her, one of her newer albums. Again, you know, I mean, I had a lot of fun putting the little bits of soundtrack together that make up the show, too.
So. Yeah, there's so much fast movement. There's like this you know, like all fake fight scenes and slapping and sound effects. And we might as well go ahead and play the Dixie Stampede cut next. This is a little while later in the play, and finally we're seeing Dixie Stampede, who's the head of Mal Wart.
Yes, the secret president of Mal Wart, and played by Matthew Martin, who is spectacular and really a San Francisco treasure. Matthew, I think, is one of the premier Betty Davis impersonators in the world. I don't know how many there are, but his Betty Davis is fantastic. His comic timing is, you know, I've learned so much just having the opportunity to work with him, but nothing tops the high kicks. Like, I don't know how he does it, but he can kick way over his head, and these fight scenes that are almost, you know, danceable, all choreographed by John Ficarra, who's a fantastic fight choreographer. I think that whole other layer in this, and with all the basic, you know, sound effects that gives it almost a cinematic feel with all of the karate and punch sounds. These fight scenes are so much fun.
So let's hear. And this is now Champagne has knocked off one of the other thugs. So the partner comes in and
it was out of self-defense. It was out of self-defense.
Of course.
And so, yes. So this is her, you know, berating the one standing thug and giving him the once over.
She's a chick, Tony. A chick.
I know, boss, but she's tough.
And so am I. Lifetime, undercutting the competition, shafting employees, yeah, and building a monopoly. I'm not about to let some dancer get in the way of my fast track to corporate domination. I want the drugs in the streets and the hoes in the sheets. I want it done fast and I want it done cheap. What's our mother motto?
I'm glad I remembered to clean that one up last year.
Right.
Okay. Yes. She wants the drugs in the street and the hose in the sheets.
She wants it done quick and she wants it done cheap.
So that's the head of Walmart. Yes. And so, you know, by the way, you're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Darcy Drollinger, writer, producer, star, and I think a lot of other little credits in there of this show called SH Blank Tea and Champagne, Shh and Champagne, which is now playing at the Oasis through February 14th. And tell us where the Oasis is, and because it's like this new club that just opened a while ago. And you guys reopened it from, well, it's a totally different club than it was before. But
it is something that we have been working on for a couple of years now, ever since I came back from New York and started working with heckling and doing shows over at Rebel. And we really realized that the city was lacking a venue like this. And there was nothing like this that existed. And, we really wanted to create this, you know, not only just for the audiences, but for performers, both locally and from out of town, to have a venue.
And there really hasn't been a good one for a long time. I mean, Josie's was here, 20 years ago? Or was
exactly.
it more than that?
Exactly. And I can't believe that nothing else has come up in the city like San Francisco. So it has been, it's been a joy. It's been the biggest project I've ever done, the biggest production I've ever done. And Heckling and myself and our two other business partners, Jason Beboat and Jeff Benjamin, you know, we have all worked, you know, crazy hours to get this to happen, and called in so many personal favors, so many political favors. Everyone has been so seriously.
I'm guessing Ed Lee wasn't helpful. The mayor wasn't helpful.
Well,
did he get a little pot shot at him in the play? Not a big one.
You have
Mark
to.
Zuckerberg gets a much bigger one.
I know.
So what's that about? You're all over Facebook. That's the best way for me to get a hold of you.
If you got to be able to send them up. It's like we're doing it for the laughs. No, I mean, Jane Kim was really influential in getting all the zoning passed. Scott Wiener helped put the deal together from the get-go. David Campos all came and spoke on our behalf. They were real champions of this project. So many people from the community donated their time and sweat equity to get the doors open.
And it's amazing. I mean, I was very impressed by the sound system and the lights. I mean, it's a full-on professional stage.
Looking at that stage now makes me so happy, because it's what I've been dreaming of for my whole life, pretty much. But Sarah Pikett, who is a tech director at ACT, came on board. And she's worked with me. She was my tech director for Project Lohan, worked with me on Mr. Irresistible. She came and she managed the build of that stage, and she is a superhero, you know. So the stage looks beautiful. And I worked really hard to create a really nice dressing room for performers that was big enough for
dressing
some
room. With a my nice God, big, the Raz room doesn't even have a dressing
with
room.
Lights and mirrors and its own bathroom.
A bathroom? Oh my!
For the performers, and something that could manage a show like ours where there's seven people. As
running
well,
in and out making costume changes backstage. That's amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
And we also like Heckling's new club, which now the Tranny Shack is no more. The new club is called Mother, and it's going to be weekly on Saturdays. I mean, sometimes there's going to be 40 queens in that show. We've got to be able to, you know, it's got to be big enough and malleable enough to work for a lot of different occasions. So I think we've done a good job at that. David Marks, who did the interior design, again, you know, jumped in and just, you know, killed it. I mean, he did such a great job, you know, keeping with our crazy budget and making the space look beautiful. You know, it's been great. And I we've only been open a week at this point, but the response from people have been fantastic. And we've got a lot of shows. I mean, we have programming now. I mean, we're almost there. We're about 5 days a week now. We want to be 7 days a week, early and late shows. And it's all on the website, www.sfoasis.com.
SFOasis.com.
And, all the shows can be, you can buy tickets there.
So tell us about some of these other shows. I will just say, by the way, this show, particular show, not only is it the stage show that's amazing, but there's pole dancers before and during intermission.
Well, before we move on to the other shows, real quick, the pole dancing, to me, this immersive theater experience is so cool. Like, that sets the stage, and it is like the warm-up act. I mean,
yeah.
and they're
all amateur. Mostly just amateurs coming in for the fun of it.
They want to dress up. We have women, we have men, we've got drag queens. They dress up, they get a free ticket and all the tips they can get, you know, and I love it. And that when because we had poles at the last place because they were built in, but when we moved to this place, one of the things I had to ask the contractor was, like, you need to make me stripper poles. He had never made stripper poles before. So it was pretty fun. So the strippers at the beginning are a hoot. So if people are coming to the show, get there by 6:30. So you're going to have a half an hour with the strippers. And Nancy French, who plays Debbie, the old washed-up stripper in the show, comes around and gives lap dances. So you might be lucky enough to get a lap dance.
You show her some money.
Exactly. She'll make change, too. The other night, someone put a bunch of quarters in her down her pantyhose. She was a little mad about that. But the rest of my cast, I just want to give a shout out to Stephen LeMay, who has done the show in the last two incarnations. So fun to work. He plays Brandy White, my adopted half-step sister, and also owns that store Retrofit on Valencia Street. Adam Roy plays Detective Jack Hammer, fantastic. James Arthur as Sergio, the gay sidekick and best friend of Champagne. He's, you know, very funny, very sharp. And of course, I said Matthew Martin. And Tria Connell came on to work on costumes for this one, and you know, she's really taken it up a notch with these new costumes. My white crocheted jumpsuit that ends the first act. I'm sorry if I gave that away, but it is pretty flawless. And she's backstage. She's the magician that makes all the quick changes happen.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tria, maybe that's the one I met a while ago, and I was trying to think where I'd met her before.
Tria Connell. Yeah. Also, she goes by Bedazzler.
So you were living in – you were out here years ago, right? And then you moved to New York for a while, and you're back. So what's your story, and where are you from originally and all that stuff?
So
– this is like a first date all for
right.
All the guys who are out there, and they don't. Are you single, by the way?
Well, I am.
Okay. Because I'm sure a lot of guys and probably ladies want to know too, but they probably won't have as much luck. I don't know. I shouldn't make assumptions here.
I'm a San Francisco native, actually.
Okay.
Born in San Francisco, and I lived here only till I was about seven, then grew up in up north in a little town called Nevada City.
Oh, Nevada City, yeah.
Came back here, went to college, went to state, and I was in a band called Enrique for a long time that had a lot of success in the late 80s, early 90s. And I had a number of shows produced. Lawrence Hellman, my publicist, that's how I met way back then, doing publicity for me. In those days, then I moved to New York in 1998, and I worked there. I lived there for, I guess, 13 years. Had a number of shows produced there. I worked on Broadway in a couple of shows. I worked on Hairspray, the musical, and The Producers. Also worked as a publicist.
Wow.
Ending my career as a publicist with the Museum of Modern Art. I was the senior publicist there before coming back here. And, you know, I really wanted to focus full-time on being an artist and doing theater. And it seems crazy to come here versus being in New York, but I'd come back to do Scalpel, this musical, and the response and kind of just the camaraderie with the other actors willing to create new stuff and being willing to make things happen. And
well, I was wondering if the atmosphere here, especially for gay and queer performance here, is a little bit more collaborative and not as cutthroat as New York, or do you think it's more?
It is. No, it's absolutely. It is absolutely more collaborative. But the problem was, there's no place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came back and there was, you know, there really isn't. And that is why we set out to make the Oasis what it is, because we need that so desperately. And I think, yes, I think there is a collaborative aspect, whereas in New York, everyone is trying to make a living. And so the amount of money it takes to workshop a show in New York is a lot more than it takes to workshop a show here. There's obviously a lot more potential for things to get picked up in New York. And San Francisco sometimes feels like a bubble a little bit. But really coming back, you realize the bubble can be your best friend because there's so much community support around things that you don't get in a city like New York or LA so much. There really is this this sense of community. And I think as the city is growing in population with so many people coming from out of the city, that there's even more need for this kind of I don't want to say desperate, but there's a compelling need for this sense of community.
Right.
When suddenly people who have been living here for a while feel surrounded by strangers.
Displaced and perhaps feeling threatened absolutely seems to be competition for everything now.
Well, and everything's closing. I mean, what I've heard from so many people is like, it's great to hear a story like this where something from the gay community, something from the local community is opening, when all we hear is another venue closing, bar closing, another thing closing. And it's exciting to feel like we can actually open something and there can be a clubhouse and a home for so many different people. And we really want to be that. I mean, we bought a Steinway Baby Grand piano from Piedmont Pianos. And we want to be able to offer cabaret. We want to offer theater. We want to offer, a nightclub experience. The drag, we've got these big drag shows, even drag queen bartenders sometimes. We also have a smaller...
I heard Heclina was tending bar the other day.
She was.
Is she doing that as a happy hour all the time in drag?
A couple times a week,
Stefan was doing it yesterday when I was there.
And you know what? They just put me on the books to do it, too. So come have a drink with me. And Lady Bear is going to come and bartend,
oh,
too.
So fun.
So I think that'll put a lot of fun...
Do they actually know how to mix drinks?
They do. And we're going to do some fun happy hour things called like Hot Topic, where we basically talk about what's trending in the week and Twitter and online, kind of like how Wendy Williams does, but our hot is HAWT. So that's some fun happy hour things we want to do. And but we also want to cultivate a new artist. I want to be able to take some chances and do what Joe's Pub does in New York, where, have an artist that's building a following come work in the small room. And do that a couple months, build a following, then move them into the big room, but really be there to work with the community and be more than just a venue that gets four walled,
right?
But actually something that supports the community. And I think that's crucial. Like, for example, this week we're having we have Trixie Carr, and she's working with Trauma Flintstone, a few other great musicians, and she's doing a Hall & Oates night, a night of Hall & Oates, which I think would be fantastic. Maneater, it's called. And that's on Wednesday. And Thursday, we have my show, Shh and Champagne, followed by a little birthday party I'm having with a lot of great folks coming out to do a number. Friday, we have my show again at the early slot, and then we have a really fun dance party called Swagger Like Us, and Double Duchess is performing at that, so that'll be dancing and a performance. And then on Saturday, we've got my show because it's running, and then we have Mother, which is Heclina's new club, which is going to...
Is that a late night thing now, or is it 9 o'clock? Oh, we've only got 5 minutes left. So you know what?
Oh my gosh.
I want to talk about Sexitude before we end.
Okay.
So let's just hit this music now. And I'm just, before we hit it, I'm going to tell you, like, if you want... You were just talking about, growing new talent. you can not only, and the collaborative nature of this town, you can learn from Darcy. I'm in his class. I'm going, it used to be called Sunday School. Now it's Sexitude on Sunday mornings.
At the Academy of Ballet.
Yeah, Academy of Ballet on Market Street near church at 11 a.m. from 11 to 12:30.
Dance by donation. Anyone welcome.
Yeah, so let's hit it a little bit. We'll hear some of the music you'll hear. We'll be right back. So that's an idea, the kind of dance, funk, fun music you'll hear every Sunday morning. And you were doing it at some other places as well, but you're not doing it yourself, but they are continuing in other locations.
Correct. I've got other dancers from Sunday doing it in other locations, like Linty is taking over the Dance Mission class, which is at 8 p.m. on
Tuesdays.
At Dance Mission. And this has been a great build of community, too, a building block of community. This class really started, you know, I didn't know any of these people who were in it. And now, you know, last class, we had 50 people there on Sunday. And it's a lot of fun. Body positive, age positive, sex positive dance class. And it's been so fun to watch people kind of come to life with dance. And it's been really
exciting.
And
like you said, all ages, all sizes. And it's very body positive.
Inclusive,
body positive,
yes.
And sex positive, and just letting people have some fun.
And, you know, I'm going to start doing a monthly Sexitude PM class at the club.
At Oasis.
At the Oasis with the bar open. It'll be a little bit easier, but you'll have the nightclub experience, but you'll also get to learn a routine. And you can find out more information on that at my dance website, which is sexitude.com. And I just do want to finish that... back to Mother Heclina's new club. It is going to be every Saturday at 10 p.m. So we can look for pretty much one of the most innovative, biggest drag shows in the world. And we get it right here every. But yes, so Sexitude, if you want to come, Sexitude, go to the website, sexitude.com. You can see videos, you can testimonials, and all the locations where we're doing it.
Great. Thank you very much. Darcy Drollinger, I want to thank you for being here on Out in the Bay. Folks, if you want more information about this fantastic show, SH Blank T and Champagne, a whitesploitation comedy with dance, sfoasis.com is where you can get info. Dance classes, sexitude.com. And you've been listening to Out in the Bay. You know what? We're not going to go out in a regular theme song. We're going to play, let's play some of that dance music underneath again. I want to thank Kevin Vance, ex-studio engineer extraordinaire. Thank you very much, Kevin. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We're heard Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time on KALW.org and 91.7 FM anytime you want on our website, outinthebay.org, where you can hear past favorites and sign up for Stitcher, the application that lets you download radio programs to play on your phone and other mobile devices. Stitcher, it's all free. And, you know, we need your help. We've been doing this show for 10 years. We're planning a party, a big 10-year anniversary party for some time this year. Go to our website, outinthebay.org, make a donation, get free downloads. Also, sign up for our email list so you can get info about this party when it comes up. Maybe it'll be at Oasis. I don't know.
I love
Wouldn't that.
Wouldn't
that be fun? Yes. But we do need to find a venue. And if you're also, you know, besides cash, folks, we could use your help with various volunteer stuff, researching show topics and guests, keeping our website content current, helping us run a Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaign, all kinds of stuff that we don't have time to do because we're artists, starving artists, trying to make it in this crazy San Francisco town. We'd love to hear from you, so write to us. Oh, you know what? I have to make a very quick thanks to Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Portola Valley for their generous donation to Out in the Bay. They hope our thanks on the air will inspire you to join them at outinthebay.org. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.